All right, Senator John Hoeven on our newsmaker line right now. Hello, Senator. How you doing?
Good, Scott. Greetings to you and to your listeners.
Lots of stuff to cover today, but I'm first kind of curious what you think about tonight's debate. Did you serve with Joe Biden? Did you serve at all with Biden? Was he there still when you got to the Senate?
No. He was, vice president when I got Senate.
He was already gone, yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
You only got to deal with him as a vice president, but he doesn't.
I can remember visiting with him at length. I can remember one time a good friend of mine, Senator Rob Portman from Ohio, and I came out of the Capitol building. He was there, and he visited a long time. I mean, he's very personable. I mean, he likes to visit, very talkative, and so. And then I worked with him on stuff, and he called me, and so I've talked to him quite a bit.
What do you think about tonight? Any if you could whisper in the president's ear, any advice for him?
I think it's going to be really fun to watch. Very interesting. I mean, I know you're excited, Scott, right? I mean, I think everybody's looking forward to the debate very much. I think they're going to have a tremendous viewership, and I think it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, there's a report now, a couple of them. One, Trump is asking for a third party to verify no devices in the ears of either candidate. That's kind of interesting. And then evidently the Biden camp has come back with they want breaks, which isn't a good look. But
there's going to be back and forth, and all that goes. But I think people are very interested to see the debate. They see President Trump all the time. In essence, President Trump's out there every day debating the media, so they see him all the time. But really, former Vice President Biden hasn't been, and so I think people are very anxious to see the debate and see how it goes. And that's why I say I think there's a lot of interest in it, and I think it'll have very high viewership.
How would you handicap this race right now? Do you think would you rather be Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
I think that the president has momentum right now. I think when you look at the polls, it looks to me like he's coming back in a number of the key battleground states. And again, it goes to issues. I mean, it's such a clear choice in this election. I mean, you have to look at, the law and order issue, this defund the police, the rioting, for example, that's going on in cities like Portland, the defund the police in Minneapolis. And so, again, the president's out there very strong on law and order. Support for our law enforcement. None of this defending the police. Strong support for the military. Strong support for freedom and free enterprise. And the other side really, it has a very different agenda, including an agenda that really is moving us towards socialism. And obviously that's a great concern. And so I think it's just a very, very clear choice here.
Questions or comments for Senator Hoeven? Welcome on the program today, 800-228-0550. If Donald Trump were to lose, what, give me a quick top three things where North Dakota loses in a big way. What's at stake for North Dakota in this race?
Well, for us, right off the bat, that whole Green New Deal and the energy, can you imagine, with no fracking and the regulatory requirements and so forth of the Green New Deal, what that would do to our energy economy? And we're an energy powerhouse for this country. And so you can imagine how difficult that would be for our state right off the bat. The law and order thing, I think, is a concern for everybody in the country. Obviously, we'll still maintain law and order in North Dakota. That's how we do things. But even as close as Minneapolis, you've got that defund the police thing. And I think people are very concerned about that. Socialized medicine. People are not going to have choice and competition in their health care. Those are all things that are going to affect North Dakotans right away, and there's many others just in terms of less personal freedom and a tougher time for small businesses. Those are all things that would affect us directly.
We're hearing a lot since the nomination of Amy Comey Barrett, but prior to that too, from Democrats about Republicans. If Donald Trump's elected, if the Supreme Court votes, there'll be no protection for those with pre-existing conditions. They love that one. They've already decided
That's just wrong, Scott. Not only has the president said repeatedly and clearly that we'll make sure that there is protection for pre-existing conditions, I think every Republican has said that, whether they're in the Senate or the House. That's clearly our position, that we will make sure that pre-existing conditions are covered. It's not even a question.
Yeah, and yet it must be a little frustrating for you to see that pounded away again and again and again. Very little challenge from anybody in the media on that point either.
Right, so we just have to keep saying it. But, you know, we've been very clear on that, as well as keeping people in your policy past age 26. But the difference is we don't want socialized medicine. We want people to have choice. We want competition. I think Americans will be very unhappy if they can't have any choice over their doctor and their nurse and their health care. I think they'd be very upset. And that's what happens when you get socialized health care. I mean, look at Canada. Look at these other systems.
Yeah, good point. Chris, on the road for Senator Hovind. Go ahead. You're up on What's on Your Mind.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I had called in probably about a year ago and spoke to Senator Kramer about it, but I was just wondering, does the FEC have their quorum yet? Because at the time they had not. And that's when I think it was Rashida Tlaib was going through her campaign finance and the AOC and all that. Now with Ilhan's latest ballot harvesting scandal, I was just wondering where we stand. I'll hang up and listen to your reply. Thank you.
I couldn't hear. Was he talking? Did he ask about the Federal Election Commission or the FERC?
He did. Federal Election Commission, FEC.
Yeah. Yes. I'd have to check to be sure, but I think they do. Yes.
All right. So, yeah, got your answer there. Appreciate that, Chris. About a minute left before the break here.
And Scott, I'll double check. I want to make sure I'm right on that. We'll get back to you. So make sure we got it right.
Sounds good.
Because I'd have to check to be sure.
There are members of the Senate, a growing list now, including your leader. You're not, I guess it is the minority leader, not your leader, Chuck Schumer, that have announced they're not going to meet with Amy Coney Barrett. They won't meet with her. What's your reaction to that?
Well, they should meet with her. I think she's just an exceptional candidate. And not only just incredibly intelligent, incredibly accomplished, poised, just so impressive in so many ways. I love the fact that she has school age. She'd be the first Supreme Court justice with school age kids. I mean, think about, you know, that when she's on the bench. It brings a perspective that I think is so important for everyday working Americans. But the thing is, and this is what I was adamant about when I was governor, I got to appoint a lot of judges, including state Supreme Court justices. And to me, the key is this, that they enforce the Constitution. They enforce the law. They uphold the Constitution. They uphold the law. They are not there to legislate from the bench. They are not another legislature. And that's the key. And that's why she's such a good candidate, because clearly she brings that the right judicial perspective.
Take a quick break here. Come back with more question from David in Fargo for Senator Hovind and others. Welcome at 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550 after a short timeout. On What's On Your Mind, brought to you in part today by PetroServe USA, where the home cooking and the grab-and-go convenience are about a stop away. Folks, to have a great lunch today, stop by and see him. Tell him Scott sent you. More after this. Senator John Hovind taking your questions or comments right now at 800-228-0550. You can also text
good,
that in.
Good pick on the music there, Beach Boys. That's great.
You like that? Yeah.
I'm picking up
We got all good vibes on debate night tonight. Yeah. Good job. Kevin Flynn on the tunes.
Thanks, John.
800-228-0550 or the email scotth@flagfamily.com or the text at 701-367-2054. David Fargo for Senator Hovind. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Senator. Over the recent years, the media has never talked about the total number of deaths per year by state. I checked into the average number of deaths over the last 5 years on our state, and it's not out of line at all. I think we should look at the average number of deaths in each state and talk about that compared to what's going on now. Everybody's scared about dying from COVID. It's not happening.
Well, what you see is in a lot of these cases is it's the comorbidity, and it's elderly people with comorbidity. So I understand the point you're making. And again, you know, what I've always said is we have to do it safely and so forth, but we've got to get our economy open and going and get back to school and business and everything.
Absolutely,
else.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, so.
But I think the media's got to talk about the fact – that people aren't all dying from this. The number of deaths is quite normal in each state.
Well, it's really amazing. I've seen the statistics, and if you go 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020 through August, month by month, you know, it's the average amount of deaths. I brought that up to the chief of staff to the Corona Task Force at the White House and asked him if they'd done that nationally. He said, we've looked at it nationally. He said, other than a little spike in April, it's flat nationally as well. You know, so you talk about, we just hit a million deaths, but it's not a million deaths that would not have been there but for COVID. It's the same amount of deaths, and obviously people have underlying conditions. That's a challenging situation where they are obviously more vulnerable, but they're not dying in higher numbers. So that tells you this isn't the problem that it's been made out to be, doesn't it?
Well, it's an important point to look at that, and I had not thought about that, the point that David just brought up here. I had not thought about that, but that is something important for people to understand because it may help them in terms of, you know, addressing fears and concerns about COVID. So, it's important to have perspective and understand something like that.
Appreciate the call, David. Let me go to Dustin in Bismarck for Senator John Hoeven. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yes, sir. I was looking into, why does Great River Energy Company out of Minnesota own the coal rights to North Dakota Coal? And how do we allow that out of the state?
Well, I don't think that the Great River Energy owns them. I think that North American Coal owns, actually the individuals own them, and then North American Coal typically leases them and pays royalty for mining the coal. But I'm not aware of that Great River Energy Company actually owns coal interests.
Well, according to the research I have done, and we're allowing that money to leave the state. Just, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm concerned with the coal plants closing and what we're going to do about it.
Right. Okay, so that's where I was going. I'm very concerned about the coal plant closing, which is why I'm doing a number of things, including getting the tax credit so that for carbon capture, they get a substantial revenue assistance in terms of trying to keep those coal plants going. And so the concern with Great River Energy is they've decided, that energy goes to Minnesota, and they've decided they don't want the energy from coal. And obviously I don't agree with that, and I'm trying to find ways to make sure that we keep that plant in operation. And the biggest one is try to help with the revenue bottom line, even as they meet all these environmental requirements. So your point, your underlying point about keeping the plant going, I agree with 100%. It's very important, not only supplying energy to Minnesota, but we supply energy to about 9 different states, and we do it with low-cost, dependable coal and with the best environmental stewardship in the country.
Appreciate the call, Dustin. I know that there have been a lot of negotiations going back and forth. Last we heard, it sounded like things were moving pretty quick on a COVID relief package. Now there's a few, a bit of palace intrigue here, including the House now saying that they favor a $2.1 trillion plan. What's the latest on the COVID relief?
So Speaker Pelosi now put forward, I think it's $2.2 trillion plan. And as you know, we passed a targeted relief plan. It was actually about $300 billion in new money. And I think it really, covered the important things. It was more PPP. Help for back to school, help for vaccines. We had some help for farmers and ranchers in there. And, it's about $300 billion. It's a targeted plan that gets help to the people that need it, but yet recognizes that these are taxpayer dollars, and we've already spent $3 trillion. And so we just can't get Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats to come down to something reasonable, but we're going to continue to work to try to do it. She's still at $2.2 trillion.
Can't make it up, that's for sure.
It's unreal. She just, I don't know if she just doesn't want, why not pass our plan, and then if she wants to work to try to get more or do more, she can. I don't understand.
But wasn't the plan for you to go back this week and pass something that there was some agreement on?
Well, we're going back now to pass the continuing resolution, which will fund the government. That's at a level funding. And the big fight there was she wanted to exclude funding for the farm bill, for the CCC, which is how we fund the farm bill, as well as some of the disaster assistance. And that was the last thing we had to fight over to get agreement. She was holding up funding for our farmers and ranchers. And so I got, you know, 47 different farm groups and a bunch of senators, and we went to work. And Senator McConnell stood with us, and we held out until she finally, you know, we forced her members and her to agree to fund our farmers and ranchers. But why would you hold that out when you're funding the government? Why would you do that to our farmers and ranchers? So, fortunately, we won that battle. They passed it in the House, and now we're going back and we'll pass it this week in the Senate.
All right, let's see here. Dustin wasn't quite finished. Had another comment to follow up on there. Sorry, Dustin. Go ahead and finish what you had to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you, with the increase of solar and wind power, the DC coal becoming a specialty resource to emit blackouts and such, when there is a decrease and they can charge a higher rate, which bring more revenue to North Dakota.
Yep. Yeah, that's another thing we're working on. That's right on, Dustin. It's the reliability factor and making sure that the grid is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that you don't have any blackouts, don't have any brownouts. Coal is that baseload that's always there and helps make sure that we have it. It's that it gives us diversity in the fuel mix. Right now you're seeing in California, you're seeing blackouts. They're fighting fires, and they're already got problems with brownouts and blackouts. And if we keep baseload on, we make sure we don't have that problem across the nation. So that's a great point, and it's one we're pushing really hard.
Dustin, thank you for the call. Sorry we didn't get to all the calls. We'll have Senator Hovind back after a busy week in D.C. and another little recap. Thanks a bunch, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Good chatting with you.